Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
So we obviously, what a beautiful lead up, the beautiful scripture about Jesus coming. That is what we're anticipating. That is Advent. That is what we are getting ready for. And although it's already happened, we need to be reminded that there was a time that people didn't know what was about to happen. And it was monumental, life-changing, world-changing. I mean, I know when I had children, I thought that moment was world-changing, and it was for me and my family, but this is like next-level world-changing. This is Jesus, the Savior of the world. That was a big moment. And when Jesus entered, he brought with him some incredible gifts that we actually get to walk in because we are now part of his family and his story. And one of the gifts he gives us is enduring peace. Enduring peace. Does anybody want peace? Maybe it's peace and quiet, you know, depending on your season of life. It's like, I just like a little peace and quiet. Or maybe you're in a season of life where there is too much quiet, and all you hear is your troubled rumblings. And so you also desire peace. Whatever season you are in, we all desire to have a peace that actually has some endurance to it, some lasting, not just a moment's peace, which is often what we find offered to us by the world. I have an image here because often this idea of world peace is a desire for most people. Let's have world peace. I mean, there's wars that have been fought over peace. It seems like an oxymoron, but let's, you know, fight it out so that we can have peace. And yet every peace treaty that's ever been signed in world history, guess what? It's been broken. That is the nature of our worldly peace. What we have to offer is just not quite it. I actually looked up, is there wars going on, or how many wars are going on in the world today? And these were 10 conflicts to keep watch on. There was Gaza and the wider Middle East war, Sudan, Ukraine, Myanmar, Ethiopia, the Sahel, Haiti, Armenia, U.S. and China. There's actually so much unrest on a big world scale level, as well as in our individual seats right now, that we experience this lack of peace. And Monica was saying how I hope you're participating in Advent activities. Well, since 2015, I have read little stories to my children during Advent. And this is one of the stories, and I wanted to read it to you today because it is about this idea of peace, and maybe only for a moment. It's called A Night of Silence. I love stories at Christmas. Did anybody else like stories at Christmas? Okay, great. Well, enjoy. I wish I could give you all a hot cup of cocoa and a fuzzy blanket, but I can't. So you're going to just enjoy that comfy chair that you have. Okay. As darkness fell on December 24th, 1914, an eerie silence fell along a long stretch of the Western Front, the main fighting zone in France during World War I. No gunfire, no artillery, no rockets. Soldiers looked cautiously over the tops of trenches. Would there really be no fighting tonight? As dawn broke, a song came drifting across the frozen battlefield. The British troops looking over the edge of their trench would have sung with different words, but the tune was familiar. Still notch, hilly notch, Isis flight. Einsamwatch. I probably did it bad. Mika sent me, my German sister sent me how to say this, and I probably butchered it, but you get it. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, alone and awake. German soldiers tentatively stood up from the opposite trench, holding their helmets high or waving small Christmas trees. Merry Christmas, some called across the field. We no shoot, you no shoot. Agree? A day of peace for Christmas? Battle-weary soldiers from both sides looked at each other in surprise and then climbed out of their trenches and into the scarred battlefield that separated them. The men greeted each other, shared pictures, traded small gifts. In some sectors, men even played games of soccer, making do with the supplies they had at the time. An empty beef can as a ball, helmets and uniforms as field markers. Others held burial services to say goodbye to friends who had been killed. The informal truce spread across much of the Western Front, which wound across 400 miles of the French countryside. The truce didn't last long. In some areas, only a day or two, and in others, until New Year's. And while the level of friendliness varied, there are reports that nearly 1 million men were involved in the event. Sadly, the momentum of this war was building, and each side's leaders, upon hearing reports of the unofficial truce, forbid their soldiers from future visits with the enemy. The Christmas truce is often seen as a symbolic moment of peace and humanity amid one of the most violent events of human history. Wow, that is a true story. And there is that desire in all of us for a moment of peace. And sometimes I heard it said that the moment of peace is only in the middle of a battle when the guns are being reloaded. And the truth is, the peace that the world offers is a moment. But we want enduring peace. Well, I Googled how to find peace. And here are some of the ways to find peace based on the world's idea of peace. There's a few things, and they're all really great. Practice mindfulness. Meditation can help you reconnect, I love this, with a divine energy source. Spoiler alert, if the one and only true God is your divine energy source that you're connecting with on a daily basis, meditating on him, there is peace that comes with that. So that's the end of the message, but I didn't want to stop there. So we're going to develop it a bit together, if that's okay. All right. So this is going to improve your mental state. You can also try other mindfulness practices like breathing effectively, visualizing a peaceful place, or living in the present. Accept what you can't change. You can't control your mind or life, so accept what is and move on. Practice forgiveness. Unresolved conflict can lead to anxiety and bitterness, trying to forgive yourself and others for mistakes made. Spend time in nature. Interact with nature can help instill a sense of peace within. Develop self-love. Accept yourself and others for who they are, and try to be less judgmental of yourself and others. Practice gratitude. Practicing gratitude can help you have a positive perspective on life. Make time for yourself. Set aside time for self-care and activities that you enjoy. Keep a journal. Journaling can help you find peace. Do you like that voice? That's better. Take a break from social media. I would also add to make sure you're having lots of good protein, healthy fats, and some fiber in your diet, okay? That is going to bring you peace. It does create some peace in the home. And I must say, we talk a lot about habits in our church and spiritual disciplines, practices, things that actually create a healthy life. And those things are very effective. And they are very wonderful. Why would people spend all this time doing these practices? Because then they get glimpses of this peace. There's a moment of peace. Yet, what we have to understand is that there are moments where we need a peace beyond what we can produce or what the world has to offer. Because the world's peace, it's kind of like my iPhone 8. The battery dies so fast. And so I have to keep it plugged in most of the day just to keep it alive. And so there is a battery life to the world's peace. But God's peace, it's like the old school telephone that's just plugged right into the wall. Yeah, they existed. And I mean, the analogy kind of falls apart there because cell phone is great because you take God's peace with you. But, you know, we don't need to go all the way into that. But we need to know that God is the source of peace. And that's what we need to stay connected to. Because there are those moments when you get the call and you find out your mom has cancer, or the doctor says you'll never be able to have children, or the bank calls and says bankrupt, or the grade comes back F. or your home is getting shot at, like this beautiful girl that I spent time with when I was in the school a year and a half ago. Like real missiles getting, you know, shot at your home. This gentleman, Jeremy and I had the privilege of meeting this man. He's a follower of Jesus. Thank you. I'm trying to keep it together. He's an amazing follower of Jesus, a businessman, very successful. He has his children are the young adult stage. He's very active, healthy guy. And not too long ago, he got in a motorcycle accident. And last week, got the diagnosis, quadriplegic. Oh, what's that? That's when the rest of your body doesn't work, but his head does. Praise the Lord. So no amount of walking outside, sitting in the middle of a peaceful, quiet place with your legs crossed, repeating, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, I have what it takes, is going to give you peace in those moments. And that's an enduring peace that we need from our Father. And that's where we find the disciples. When we look at them in John, they're sitting in this upper room with Jesus, and he's explaining to them what's about to happen. This man that they've walked with, this rabbi, Jesus, God in the flesh, who performed miracles, who humbly washed their feet. This man that was supposed to come and end the Roman rule, this oppression that they were living in. And he sits with them around this table. And there's these five chapters that are all red letters in John where he's encouraging them and telling them about his leaving and about what's going to happen and praying for them. It's a beautiful story. And I'm going to read a bit out of John 14. And if you memorize verses for Camp Living Springs, you can say these verses with me. Yes? Okay. This is Jesus comforting his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. If you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. That's right. We sing it. Then you memorize better. That's how you memorize. We used to, okay, when we were not cool. Okay. Missed that. But Melissa mentioned this verse last week. This is the hope that we have, that Jesus is returning. He is coming back to take us to be with him. And then Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas, one of the disciples, I can see him leaning across the table. It's just like, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? So the disciples are confused. Jesus tells them he's leaving, and it's kind of like cryptic about how he's going to go get where he's going and creating more uncertainty, maybe even anxiety, which probably wasn't a word back then, but for his disciples, his friends, their world is crumbling. This guy who they thought was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who was going to release them from this oppressive rule, he's going away. John 14, 27, we skip down and it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This scripture is your promise. This scripture actually is divided. There's a promise and then there's a command. So Jesus, he promises peace, an enduring peace. And then there's a command, do not let your hearts be troubled. And any promise that we receive, and God gives us so many promises throughout the Bible, we have to actually appropriate the promise, which means we have to like make it work for us. We actually have to, you know, if you have $1 million in your bank account, I mean, good for you. But also, you need to actually go and access or take out that $1 million to be able to use that money. And that's kind of like the promise. We actually need to do something to accept and carry the responsibility of taking this promise forward. And then Jesus, the command, he says, stop. So do not stop letting your heart be troubled. This is a present past imperative, which means Jesus is saying stop an ongoing action. So you've probably heard of like passive income. Does anybody want one? Or maybe you have one. This would be something that would be great. Just an income that's working its way, it's building up while you're not doing anything. Well, that's kind of the same with heart troubling and turmoil and stress. It's passively working beneath the surface and building up and creating this tension. And Jesus is saying, you know, you need to stop building that passive wealth underneath you that is stress. Well, that's easy, right? Just stop. Huh, great. I'm sure you, if you've ever had a habit, someone's like, stop it. You're like, oh, that's not easy. It actually requires something. And you can try and do all the practices. Great, great. And then you receive a call from the RCMP and they say, your child has been in an accident, but don't worry. Everything's okay. You're like, where are the keys? I am going and my heart is troubled. Yeah. That, like, you can't stop me. It's happening. My heart is troubled. But the great thing with Jesus is that he doesn't just give us a command. He actually gives us the power to obey that command because of the Holy Spirit that is here with us. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. So stop being anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So I got the keys. I'm sweating. My heart is troubled. I'm in the vehicle and I'm on my way to go find that child. And you know what I'm saying? Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you love that child more than I love that child. Thank you, Jesus, that your hand is so capable. And in this situation, you are going to work things out. You are going to give us exactly what we need to be able to deal with what's going to happen or what has happened. He is with you. That enduring peace. My peace I give to you. So good. And the peace of God. This is the second part of Philippians 4, 6 to 7, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That is a beyond circumstantial peace. That is not, oh, I'm in a good space right now. That is a, I am in a crapshoot right now, but I got peace because of Christ, the mind of Christ. Oh, that's so good. So there are two kinds of peace that we're going to look at, are two parts of peace. And this is the peace that is found in Christ. One is objective peace and two is subjective peace. Number one, objective peace. So this is the peace outside of you. What's around you? This is peace with God. If you're taking notes, this is peace with God. This is Jesus as your Savior. There is a peace knowing that you are saved because of Christ. Our peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, which means we are made right in the sight of God, praise Jesus, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:15 says, readiness that comes through the gospel of peace. So the gospel is the good news of Jesus. And because of what he's accomplished, we have a reconciliation with God. We have peace with God that was accomplished through the cross. Christ coming to this earth that we celebrate at Christmas. You know, this lead up, this anticipation, Christmas Eve. I pray that you are all here and you can bring your family and we're going to gather and we're going to celebrate that Jesus has come. And that means that there is a next part of the story where we celebrate at Easter, the cross, the resurrection that gives us peace with God. Colossians 1, 19 to 20 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile, which means bring back into connection to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We have been reconciled to God. We have peace with God because of Christ. And that is the truth for everyone who is a follower of Jesus. This is an external and eternal, foreverlasting reality. Subjective peace, number two. So that's that peace inside you. This is not of ourselves, but a gift from God. This is the peace of God. So that's the next part, if you want to write that down. Peace of God. This is Jesus as Lord. So he is the authority. He's the one who has the rule over my heart, over my mind. The peace that we have access to is the peace that God gives. We cannot find this deep within ourselves. You won't find much deep within yourself. Can I just let you know that? There's a lot of encouragement outside of the church to just keep looking in there. Keep looking. And I feel like you're not going to find it. You're not going to find true peace or joy or hope, because that is found in a person. And you know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly light. So everything that we have that is of good, of beauty, of life, that is heaven's reality on this earth. That is God and his deposit for us. This is the peace of God. This internal peace is also a promise to us. In John 14, 27, again, that last part of the verse, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He wants your heart, that ruling authority, that one that says, this is the peace of God. Let the peace of Christ, this is Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule, so have authority in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. So you know that initial list of things from the internet of how to find peace? They're all found in the Bible pretty much. Isn't that great? Most of the things that work were biblical principles first. Just a heads up. That, I think, is so cool. God has the number on all of us. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when people experience these feelings of peace, like I said, these glimpses, you know, you get a snapshot of what it could be or what it actually just, and even tangibly feel it. People experience peace for a moment and it's good. And it feels, it's like the tastes and smells. I know you have things in your mind, you're like that. You experience and it's like, oh, that was so great or amazing. And that's a moment. But that's because of Christ coming. Heaven has actually invaded earth. There is a new kingdom reality that has begun because Jesus came. And so now we get to have glimpses of what that reality will be. That where there will be no sickness or sadness or pain. There will be complete peace forevermore. How good is that? The enduring peace. But we can experience that now because of what Christ has accomplished by reconciling us to himself. And the reality is that this earth is the closest that unbelievers will get to heaven. This is the only place they're going to experience love and joy and hope and peace. And as followers of Jesus, this is the closest place we're going to get to hell, with the unrest and the chaos and the evil. But in the midst of it, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That is good news. As a follower of Jesus, we have this gift of peace. And how do we activate it and live in this peace? Well, I don't know, how many of you have your presents all wrapped and under the tree? Yeah? Yes? No? There's usually some. Yes? That's me. Okay. Be proud. Yes, I got them done. That feels good. Anyway, there are gifts that we actually have to unwrap and then put on. And that is, you know, the beauty of a great sweater under the tree or whatever it is, or that gift of peace. We need to actually open it, receive it, and put it on. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says that you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So trust and thoughts, those are the two things that we have to put on. We have to trust and believe that it's actually been accomplished, that we have peace with God. This external reality as a believer in Jesus, and that leads to an internal change where the peace of God, not trying to make it confusing, rules in our hearts and minds. So we have peace with God, like I'm holding on, and because of that, I have peace of God that rules my heart. When we can trust and we meditate and renew our mind in Christ, whatever is pure and lovely and praiseworthy, think about such things. Oh, and I was reading that scripture again last night, and it was so good because it does lead to peace. When we think about what is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. And it says, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. His peace is a promise as we continue to lean into him and his Holy Spirit and what he has for us. And this peace is not just a peace that's going to endure throughout eternity. You know, it's removed someday, somewhere. It's actually a transforming peace for now, where we actually have this ability to triumph, to see a victory, to give us power through the Holy Spirit, to even defeat that troubled heart today. That is good news. It's always good news for today with God, because he is an ever-present, real, and living God. He is not somewhere, someday, out there, up there, whatever you imagine. He is here with us. God with us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. God with us. We live with a sureness that our God is in control. So you can rest in peace before your tombstone says it. Before you have, you know, you're in the ground and they have RIP over top of you, you can rest in peace always, every day, because of what Christ has done. I want to close with a story, and Jer, you can come, because he's going to play it. He had to learn a song for me. So great. But I want to close with a story, and this song is part of the story, and it's just so powerful, and I want it to be a moment that you can be reminded that right here is his presence. Like Monica prayed, you know, those waiting moments where it's just like, he is here. The presence of God is here. His peace is meant to overwhelm us, to remind us that he is good, and the hope that we have. Oh, it's so good. So this story is about a man named Horatio Spafford, who was born in New York in 1828. He moved to Chicago, where he met and married Anna Larson. By 1870, he had become a wealthy senior partner in a law firm. He was a successful businessman, having successfully invested in real estate in Chicago. He also served as an elder in the Presbyterian Church. They lived happily in Lakeview with their four daughters. This was the time they could certainly say, all is well. But on October 8th, 1871, that all changed. The Great Chicago Fire broke out and destroyed much of the structure of the city and the area where the Spaffords had real estate investments, including their law firm. By 1873, Spafford, concerned about Anna's health, planned for his four daughters and his wife to travel to England. The family wanted to be there to participate in a revival meeting that was happening there as well. Some last-minute business kept Spafford from boarding the ship with his family. With plans to join them as soon as he could, Spafford said goodbye to Anna, his wife, 11-year-old Anna, 9-year-old Maggie Lee, 5-year-old Elizabeth, and 2-year-old Tanetta. 308 passengers boarded the ship. About 1 week into the voyage, the ship ran into another ship, splitting the ship in two. The ship sank into the cold waters, giving a water grave to the four daughters, but a small rowboat that found Anna and rescued her. 9 days later, when Anna arrived in Wales, she cabled her husband the words, "Saved alone, what should I do?" Horatio boarded a ship right away and passed over the same place where his four daughters had drowned. Somehow, Horatio and Anna could still say, "It is well." Horatio penned the words of this song we are about to sing in honor of his daughters lost at sea. What's interesting is the story actually continues in tragedy with Philip P. Bliss, who wrote the tune for this song. Philip and his two sons, Paul and George, and his wife, took a train to Chicago. En route, the train crossed a bridge that was unable to hold the load of the train, twisting the train in half and plummeting it into the valley below. Philip was able to pull himself out of the wreckage, but his wife was pinned under the rubble. He didn't want to leave her there, so he died with his sons and his wife as the flames engulfed them. What a great tragedy. But out of this devastation was a declaration. It is well with my soul. I invite you to stand, and we are going to sing one verse, the chorus of this song together. Only someone who has and knows the peace with God can experience the peace of God no matter what the circumstance. And you can declare over this season, whatever you're facing, whatever your family's facing, it is well with my soul. Not because of something I can do or I'm in control of or want to take control of, but because of Christ who is in control and has reconciled us to himself. We're just gonna say a prayer together of those who maybe don't have peace with God. You actually don't know or haven't fully agreed to that whole reconciliation stuff, that you have actually been given a new life because of Christ. And because of that, you can experience an inner peace that nothing else can offer. And so if that's you today, and we're all gonna say this prayer together, I just want you to repeat these words after me as we just pray right now. Jesus, I stand before you, wanting my own way, choosing what is not good or true or right, but I wanna receive the gift that you offer. I want your peace. I choose to surrender my life, my mind, my heart, my choices to you. You are the only one who can save me. Thank you for forgiving me of everything I've done wrong. Thank you for making me new. Thank you for bringing me into right relationship with you, for reconciling me to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.